I mentioned that today is still Christmas. In fact, we have a whole another week of Christmas left. The season of Christmas doesn't end until the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord next Monday. And in fact, today is the octave day of Christmas, in which we celebrate every day for 8 days as if it were Christmas Day. Because you see, the mystery of Christmas is really just too big to fit into just one day. We spent the whole season of Advent getting ready for it, and now we need a little while to celebrate. So keep partying, keep celebrating. I'm going to keep eating fudge and Christmas cookies and keep caroling, because it's still Christmas. But on this octave day of Christmas, the church always gives us this special feast of Mary under the title Mother of God. Now, it's true, in the church we have lots of feasts in honor of Mary under various different titles. But this title, Mother of God, is one that sometimes creates confusion today, and indeed even created confusion in the early church. So much so that there had to be a council called in the year 430 in Ephesus, in what is modern-day Turkey, to settle the question as to whether or not Mary could rightfully be called Mother of God. Because just as in our day, people say, no, we shouldn't call Mary Mother of God, the reason that is sometimes given is that to say that Mary is Mother of God makes Mary seem as if she's above God, as if, as Mother of God, she gave origin of Jesus' divinity. And of course, that's not what we believe now, and that's never what the church has believed. But some people can get confused. In fact, even a bishop of the church got confused in the 5th century and necessitated the calling of the council. Now, councils in the church, there have been few of them because, quite frankly, whenever we have a council, it creates a mess. A lot of fighting. They're called for good reasons to clarify things. But remember, we were talking about the Council of Nicaea earlier in 325. That's where jolly old St. Nicholas got up and punched Arius in the nose for being a heretic. They said the streets ran with blood at that council. Now, it was a little more civilized at the Council of Ephesus, but the two great kind of warring parties there were Nestorius, who was a bishop in Syria, and Alexandria had St. Cyril as their bishop. And Cyril and Nestorius, it's a good thing that they were separated most of the time, because what we have from them are their letters. They wrote pretty mean letters to each other. They called each other a bunch of names, and it's kind of interesting to think of two bishops right now writing letters to each other, you dirty rat. But that's pretty much what they were doing. So that's why we don't have councils very often. But the Council of Ephesus was really important, because they wanted to settle this question. Nestorius was saying we should not call Mary Mother of God. In Greek, the word is Theotokos, which means the God-bearer. Nestorius said we should only say that Mary is Christotokos, the Christ-bearer, because to say Mary Mother of God is to make it seem like Mary gave origin to the divinity of Jesus. And so there was the great battle, and, well, I don't mean to spoil it, but you can kind of guess by today's feast that Cyril won. And it was decided that, yes, Mary could be called Mother of God, as she had always been. In fact, they say that at the council, all the normal people who weren't bishops were outside hoping that the bishops wouldn't screw it up, because they had been calling Mary Mother of God for as long as they can remember, and they hoped that everything would come out okay. And indeed, when they come out and they announce that, yes, Mary is rightfully called Mother of God, it says that all the people rejoiced, and they went parading through the streets and chanting, Mary, Mother of God. The reason we celebrate this feast day today, the reason that we call Mary Mother of God, though, you might be surprised to realize that it's not really so much about Mary. While it's a title that's given to her, as with all things to do with Mary, it's really more about Jesus. It's really more about the answer to that famous Christmas carol that we sing, What Child Is This? This little child that is born in Bethlehem that we celebrate, that the shepherds receive the good news. What child is this? Who is this? Of course, the answer of the church is that this little child is the second person of the Holy Trinity, God, the Son, become one of us. That's the great mystery of the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas. So we see that it comes down to as simple as this. Mary gave birth to Jesus. Who was Jesus? Jesus was God. Therefore, Mary is mother of God. Notice what happens in Nestorius' case. If Nestorius wants to say that Jesus is not God then when he's born, if Mary's not mother of God, then what child is this that Mary gave birth to? You see the great problem there with getting away from calling Mary mother of God. If Mary's not mother of God, then who is she the mother of? We have to say then that some way Jesus became God later. He wasn't God when he was born. And if he wasn't, well, when did he become God? And it creates all kinds of heresies to say that Jesus wasn't God when he was born. So we see that when we call Mary mother of God, we're really saying something more about Jesus than we are Mary. What we're saying is that Jesus was God from before his conception. Jesus was God when he was conceived in his mother's womb. Jesus was God when he was born. Jesus was God on the cross. Jesus is always God. And therefore, Mary, his mother, is rightfully called Mother of God. It's amazing how theologians can sometimes have trouble with this. Whereas when I was at the school one time, I was talking to a class and we were explaining this. And one little girl raised her hand and it's just like, Father Sean, I really don't see why this is such a big deal. Mary gave birth to Jesus, right? Like, yeah. And Jesus was God, right, Father? Like, yeah. Well, duh. Mary's mother of God, Father. Why can't people just get that? Like, well, that's a really good point. It really is, when it comes down to it, that's simple. But ultimately, the reason we celebrate this feast today, then, of Mary, is to draw attention to what Mary has always been for us, and what she's always been to Jesus, and that is a protector. Mary protected Jesus as a little baby when he was vulnerable, and she continues that role in the church today. She theologically protects what we believe about Jesus. Jesus wasn't just a man who maybe became God later. Jesus was God. Mary protects that truth. Mary also continues to protect us, to protect the church. If God saw fit to entrust Jesus to Mary, how much more should we entrust ourselves to her, knowing that she will protect us just as she protected Jesus? Sometimes people think that exalted titles like Mother of God draw too much attention to Mary. Mary was just a human being, but she was the greatest human being that ever lived. She's the solitary boast of our nature to say, here is something totally pure and good. Whenever we look at Mary, we always find Jesus. We look at the manger scene. Who is next to Mary? She's pointing to Jesus. But even when we look at our little statue of Mary over here on the wall, notice she's holding Jesus. You'll never find Mary without Jesus. If you see a picture of Mary, she's always pointing to Jesus. That's her role in the church. She protects the life of Christ within us, as surely as she protected the new life of the Christ child in Bethlehem. So today, yes, we heap exalted titles on Mary. I doubt Jesus would mind so much that we would give so much honor to his mother. Jesus got to pick his mother, and he created her to be the most beautiful, most perfect mother there could ever be. And in the end, if God could find no more perfect way to come to us than to come through Mary, shouldn't we then go to God the same way he came to us, through Mary? So as we begin this new year, we entrust ourselves, our church, our families, we entrust all to Mary, just as Jesus entrusted himself as a little baby to the care of Mary. If we honor and find Mary, surely we cannot help but find Jesus. May this new year be filled with the grace brought to us through the Christ child, through Mary, that we too, with the people of Ephesus, might boldly cry, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.